You are Locked On Bulls, your daily podcast on the Chicago Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere that you can find podcasts. Make sure you leave us a five-star review. You can email us with any basketball questions or advertising inquiries at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. And Cody, the Bulls have their final regular season roster set.
It is 14 players, not 15 as we might have initially thought. We're recording this podcast on Sunday afternoon after Bulls practice, and on Friday afternoon they released Spencer Dinwiddie, who we thought had a pretty good chance to make the roster as the fringe 15th man until the Bulls traded for Michael Carter-Williams. And that changed the equation because they were kind of a redundant player in the Bulls. Parted ways with Dinwiddie, who'd actually had a solid preseason and probably outplayed Jaren Grant for the backup point guard minute spots there. But the problem was now they don't need those backup point guard minutes anymore, and Jaren Grant has a higher ceiling for the future probably.
Well, this is something that I said when they first did the MCW trade, which is that the reason they did that trade in large part was because they weren't totally in love with either of their options for the backup point guard spot, whether it was Grant or Dinwiddie. And I agree with you that Dinwiddie had played better out of the two of them. The thing to note about Dinwiddie, and we talked about how it was maybe a possibility that he would get cut. I think we've talked about that before, because his contract out of all of them was the only one that wasn't guaranteed. I mean, Chris Felicio is also non-guaranteed, but he's going to be on the team. That was never really a question. But Dinwiddie's contract, I believe he's making about $900,000 this season is what his contract was for. It would have $400,000 of that would have become guaranteed if he was on the roster November 1st. The rest of it would have become guaranteed on January 10th, which is the guarantee date across the league for non-guaranteed contracts. So it was partially a cost-cutting move. The Bulls generally have liked to carry 14 instead of 15 on their roster over the last few years. And again, yeah, once they traded for MCW, they have their backup point guard, and their backup point guard now is a former lottery pick and former rookie of the year who's going to get a lot more priority over someone like Spencer Dinwiddie, who's a second-round pick who's just kind of been on these make-good contracts.
Yeah, and the thing, too, with, I mean, it's a little show of support and faith for Michael Carter-Williams in that sense, just because, again, Dinwiddie had, he did what he needed to do in summer league and training camp probably to make the team. I mean, he could, you can always be better, but he had, I mean, Fred had praised him, and he felt confident, actually, that he was going to make the roster, probably.
And he definitely looked better than Grant did.
Yeah, he really did. So you kind of feel for the guy there. Hope he clings on to another team and gets
I
an opportunity
think
somewhere
get
else.
He'll picked up because, so the Hawks just released Jarrett Jack. They literally only have one. I'm pretty sure they only have one point guard on their roster, and that's Dennis Schroeder. So they could definitely use a backup point guard. The Pistons, you know, he was in yeah. Detroit before, but, you know, Reggie Jackson is out for a while, so they needed more point guard depth. The Cavs, with Mo Williams retiring, could use some point guard depth. I don't know who they're going to be going after. But, you know, there are teams that need backup point guards. And I think Spencer Dinwiddie, maybe he's not a starter or a regular rotation player, but I think he's shown enough to at least be an NBA player.
Latch on a roster somewhere.
Right. No, and so this is clearly, like, not an indictment of him that he got waived, because I think if they hadn't done the MCW trade, he would have been on the roster because he was clearly outplaying Jaren Grant. It was just a matter of the Bulls had the opportunity to do the MCW trade. They clearly like MCW more than any of their other options, and Dinwiddie's contract was non-guaranteed, so that's just kind of a tough break for him.
Yep, and they're already putting the time and effort in with Michael Carter-Williams at the end of practice Sunday. He was the last one on the floor shooting jump shots with assistant coach Randy Brown, assistant coach Jim Boyland, and head coach Fred Hoiberg, all standing there giving him pointers under their watchful eyes. And it's a long process, a project probably, to make Michael Carter-Williams even league average shooter in any capacity. But that is obviously a hope and a goal of the Bulls, is for him to become a better jump shooter. And they're already putting the work in. We're not going to make any sweeping conclusions based off the 40 jump shots we saw hoisted up that we were half paying attention to. But just noting that that's something they want to kind of address.
I'll just say that his jump shot has been broken since college. I'm a little bit skeptical that a few days of working on it after practice in Chicago is going to really fix things. And, they knew what they were getting when they traded for him. They didn't think they were getting a knockdown shooter of a point guard. They figured, okay, he's a guy who can penetrate, who can make plays, who's a good defender. That's what his strengths are. If they want somebody in the backcourt who's going to just knock down shots, that's kind of what they have Isaiah Cannon on the roster for.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think Cannon will be kind of a situational player. Like, you could see him play 1 or 2 minutes one night and then be the guy they need the next night and play more like Aaron Brooks backup.
Well, he's Aaron Brooks. Yeah. He's Aaron Brooks. Like, that's exactly
get
what
he is. Like 18 minutes or something, kind of get a hot shooting streak. I think he's a guy that some nights will be in the rotation and some nights might not be in the rotation. I mean, what are your thoughts on that, Sean?
Well, I would agree. I mean, we've been comparing him to Aaron Brooks ever since he got here, and not just because they're wearing the same number, but that's exactly what it is. Like, some nights he's going to be like, they're going to be like, okay, we need you to go out and score 18 points for us off the bench because nobody else is hitting shots, and he can go out and do that. And then there are other nights where they can be like, no, we don't even need you right now.
Yeah, the other Bulls updates, hard Bulls news. Denzel Valentine is practicing with the Bulls on Saturday and Sunday, but lighter work, wasn't scrimmaging, doing contact work, not a full go. The hope for the Bulls is maybe Monday he can go through close to a full practice and take contact. Obviously, he's recovering from a sprained ankle, still leaving his availability for Thursday's season opener against the Celtics up in the air, and Fred insinuated that he would like to see him have a couple full practices before putting him out there, even though he's also previously said he's not going to worry too much about whether he can pick it up because he's a smart basketball player.
Well, he says, so first of all, the Bulls aren't practicing tomorrow, which is Monday.
Oh, that's
true. We're recording this on Sunday afternoon. They're not practicing Monday.
They got the runaround.
They will practice. Yeah, no, that's right.
Fred said they're going to practice Monday when we did interviews, and then 20 minutes after interviews end, the Bulls send out a note that they're not practicing Monday.
So anyway,
sorry for my confusion.
They are going to practice Tuesday and Wednesday leading up to Thursday's season opener. So there's going to be a little bit of time for Denzel to get up to speed if they feel like he's physically up to it. So that's Tuesday practice, Wednesday practice, Thursday morning shoot around. I mean, Fred said today that he's hopeful that Denzel will be able to play on Thursday. I don't know if he's going to play. I would imagine that he is not going to really play that many minutes just because the Celtics are a really good team. And if they want to beat the Celtics, they want to have their guys in there who they know are healthy and have, been up to speed and practicing this whole time. We talked in the last episode, I think, about what their rotation might look like, whether it's going to be a 9-man or a 10-man rotation. And so I think probably that 9-man with Doug, Nico, MCW, and either Felicio or Portis off the bench is probably safe to expect opening night. He might play
Cannon too, so.
Yeah, I mean, Cannon might get in there a little bit, and you might see a couple of games into the season. They have a game against the Brooklyn Nets, which maybe that's when you try to throw Denzel out there because the Nets are not
a
very good team.
25-point win and not care if he makes mistakes.
Right, exactly. That's the kind of early on in the season, because their first two games of the year are against the Celtics and the Pacers, who are both playoff teams, there's not as much room for error against. The Nets, they should be able to beat with Denzel playing heavy minutes if he wants to.
Yeah, and a note on Nikola Mirotic, practice today. Sounds like he'll be good to go for the season opener. Obviously got hit in the back there last week. Still no official word on the starting power forward slot. Fred said he's close to deciding and announcing it.
I mean, come on, it's going to be
Taj Gibson. Chris Felicio did not practice on Sunday because he took an elbow to the throat in their last preseason game and has had some swelling and discomfort. They expect him to be ready to go for the season opener Thursday.
But just for precautionary reasons, I would say that might be a factor in Bobby Portis being get ahead of him in the rotation, at least to start off, if they feel like there's anything lingering with that. He said it's not going to be a long-term thing, but, we'll see. Now, Cody, the Bulls obviously, start their season this week. It's a big deal for Chicago basketball fans, but for Chicago sports fans in general, it's like by some distance not even the biggest sports thing that's happening in the city right now. I mean, because last night the Cubs beat the Dodgers in Game 6 of the NLCS. They're going to the World Series for the first time since 1945. They could win the World Series for the first time since 1908 if they beat the Indians. And if you are trying to get tickets for Games 3, 4, and 5, which are the ones that are in Chicago next week, you know where you should go.
Where is that, Sean?
You should go to SeatGeek.
The easiest way to buy and sell tickets on your phone. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets to basketball, football, baseball games, and see everything in person this season that you want to. There's nothing like being in the stadium arena for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want for great value. We know they're going to be expensive, but SeatGeek, Sean, is going to find you the best deal.
That's right, and that's why they give you the best deal on every ticket, because they price compare for you by searching multiple ticket sites. And, you know, prices with the online ticketing landscape, prices can vary depending on where you shop. But with SeatGeek, they'll always make sure you find the lowest available price. And because they want to help you get the best bang for your buck, they grade every ticket on a deal score, with 1 being the worst, 100 being the best. So you know that compared to other seats available in your section, you know if you're getting a good deal or a bad deal. It's a good way to help you find underpriced seats.
Every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is 100% backed guarantee, so you can shop with confidence. And best of all, listeners to Locked On Bulls get a $20 rebate with their first SeatGeek purchase. So you got to get there. Download the SeatGeek app to your phone, click on the settings tab, add promo code, and enter LO Bulls. Just how it sounds, LOBULLS. Make your purchase and you'll get $20 back. Download the SeatGeek app today and enter the promo code. Now, obviously, the Bulls have been captured by the Cubs mania in Chicago as well. We know Dwayne Wade went to a playoff game early in the Giants series, I believe.
Jimmy went.
Doug McDermott, I believe, went to Game 6, the clincher, on Saturday night, according to Fred. We didn't see Doug pop up on social media or end up on the TV cameras or anything.
He decided to keep a low profile.
Yeah, Doug, I'm sure he has a lot of great stories. Maybe we'll catch up later in the week with him on that. But the Bulls are very complimentary of the Cubs, as you'd expect. Fred Hoiberg is a Cubs fan. Dwayne Wade is a Cubs fan, too. Maybe a little bit of a bandwagon one since re-signing in July.
He's a White Sox fan.
Well, he's everything. He's what he needs to be on the given day.
Right. He did, after the Cubs won last night, he tweeted at LeBron saying that they were going to place a friendly wager on the game, because obviously LeBron is an Ohio native. He's rooting hard for the Indians, even though he wore a Yankees hat to an Indians-Yankees
playoff
game. Sean
was doing a lot of research on this.
That wasn't even research. I remember this well, because he wore that hat, and then that was the start of, oh, what does this mean? Is LeBron going to go to the Knicks? Like, I remember that like it was yesterday, that whole thing.
How do you think people got through 25 minutes of podcasts in the offseason back in 2007 if they couldn't break down what hat LeBron was wearing to an Indians Yankees
game? Did podcasts even exist in 2007?
I don't know, but I know our offseason ones would have been all over that. But, I mean, the Bulls did draw some greater parallels here to the Cubs, notably. I mean, they said the kind of the company line, it's great for the city and everything, but they were also praising the Cubs' team chemistry and their swagger, their confidence, their ability to fight through tough situations. Cubs were down 2-1 in the NLCS before they decided to go into overdrive and just destroy the Dodgers, and then Clayton Kershaw in Game 6. But, like, I mean, the Bulls are looking at this big picture approach, and you can't help but from afar kind of read it, the perspective being what the Cubs have in their locker room is what the Bulls didn't have last year, kind of team chemistry, right?
Right, and I mean, you can kind of see that last year they was just miserable. Guys were not really hanging out in the locker room. Guys weren't really talking to each other. Whereas with the Cubs, I obviously haven't covered the Cubs up close like some people have, including my colleagues at The Athletic, John Greenberg and Sahad of Sharma, who you should subscribe to The Athletic, by the way, if you want to read their coverage on the World Series coming up. But just from everything I've seen, and I've watched most of their games on TV, I've seen all the interviews, I've read all the stories, they get along. They actually like each other. They just seem like they have a lot of fun together.
They all end up drunk on, like, David Ross or John Lester's rooftop deck playing the guitar after they clinch stuff, or they're all at the karaoke bar together, stuff like that.
They got that nightclub clubhouse thing that they were blasting champagne bottles in.
Yeah, the choreographed party after every win in the regular season, because you got to enjoy the moment. And, like, I know winning begets those stories probably and makes you closer and brings you together, but at the same time I think it's the flip side too. It really helps if you're close in the beginning. And, like, let's be real, we never got, like, Bulls teammates last year on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, Snapchat. Like, we didn't see pictures of six guys together, you know,
no,
out here or there.
The way you do with teams like the Cavs and the Warriors, which are the, you know, the best teams in the league, you always see like Richard Jefferson Snapchat, Draymond Green Snapchat. They're all kind of hanging out together.
I was really fascinated by the, I believe it was Lee Jenkins who wrote the Kevin Love profile in Sports Illustrated recently in the NBA season preview. And he talked about how, I mean, this was a problem for the Cavs last year before they won the championship. Richard Jefferson showed up right before the trade deadline. And it's not that the Cavs weren't friends so much. It's just that they were down in the dumps when they were still actually really good. As Lee Jenkins brilliantly explained, like, Richard Jefferson shows up and is like, what the hell, guys? Like, you're really good at basketball and have a chance to win the NBA Finals. You're going to get there and give it your best shot, and let's go do this. And he just took Kevin Love under his wing and explained, hey, Kevin, I'm coming over at 5 p.m. to your house to get dinner and drinks, and you're going to host. Like, Richard Jefferson was telling Kevin Love this, and then Kevin Love kind of comes out of his shell a little bit. So I'm like, oh, this is awesome. I like Richard Jefferson. And, oh, Channing Frye was the other one. That's my bad. Both Channing Frye and Richard Jefferson kind of teamed up on that deal to take Kevin Love under their wing, and then everyone got along pretty well.
Well, the way that I've heard that story, and I haven't, full disclosure, I haven't read the Lee Jenkins story yet. I'm planning to in the next couple days. I'm assuming that just like everything Lee Jenkins writes, it's great. Brilliant. But like, the impression that I always got, and I've heard stuff like this before, was that back before the trade deadline, there was this just kind of cliquish nature of the Cavs locker room, where different guys are hanging out with different guys, and then Channing Frye gets traded there at the deadline, and he doesn't know who the cliques are, so he's just kind of talking to everybody and hanging out with everybody, and that's just what brings everybody together.
Yeah, so any degree that the Bulls can get of that would be helpful. And again, you don't need to be best friends, but being better friends than they were last year,
yeah, there was always
probably be a starting point just for the Bulls being better in general. It's just one of many, many, many factors, of course.
Right, and that's always, I mean, obviously the talent and the chemistry on the court has to be there, but generally speaking, when guys are hanging out and actually getting along with each other, the team tends to do better because that can translate onto the court. Obviously, we don't yet know how all this stuff is going to work. I still think, obviously, they have some issues with their shooting. They still can't defend anybody. So they have some
Those
are bigger issues in whether they get along. But I think just with some of the different personnel here, you know, the Derek Jimmy stuff was weird last year. Yeah. Some stuff with Joe and some of the guys was weird last year. Like, it's some of the different personalities here, I think, is going to be a little bit more conducive.
Yeah, and
Dwayne Wade seems like he's always been a little bit more of a uniter.
And if they all take Taj Gibson's lead, that would be good. On Saturday, Taj talked after practice, and he explained that he really doesn't care whether he starts at power forward, which we all expect on Thursday and to open the season, or if he doesn't for some reason start, he doesn't really care. Taj said you could basically tell him 5 minutes before tip-off in the season opener, and he'd be fine either way. But he was explaining, I kind of got a chuckle out of this, like, the reason he doesn't care is because Tom Thibodeau kind of just imparted that lesson on him all those years, like, make the best of every moment that you have. And Taj is actually more concerned with just still getting his 20 whatever low 30s minutes, and he wants to be on the floor at the end too.
Well, you have to clarify, he didn't say anything about Tom Thibodeau. He said he learned from a great coach in the past, and we tried to say, was that coach named Tom? And he said maybe. So he could have been talking about Vinny Del Negro for all we know, because he was actually still here when Vinny was there.
That's true.
I somehow don't think he was talking about
I'm going to read between the lines and relay what I read into that.
Know your job and do your job.
With all you guys. I mean, I got a kick too out of Taj. I mean, when you start asking those types of questions of Taj, he reverts to Tibbsisms. Like, those things that have been ingrained in his mind.
Can't skip any steps.
I mean, he's talking about those types of things, and you kind of hear that echo. And that's good for Taj, good attitude. So, again, we'll keep an eye on that. I think we about covered every pertinent Bulls topic. They don't practice Monday, so we don't expect to have a podcast Monday night for you. We'll be back
Tuesday. Obviously, we'll have one on Thursday night after the opener. And then probably on Saturday after they play against the Pacers. And so we'll just kind of play it by ear. But in the next few days, there will be some podcasts for you.
Yeah, and I think we'll get a little bit more news Tuesday about everyone's availability and probably starting power forward, and maybe get a little bit more thoughts on the Celtics, who are a darn good basketball team, projected by many to finish in the top two in the Eastern Conference. So a tough opener for the Bulls. As always, you can follow Sean on Twitter, @Hyken. Follow myself, @Cody Westerlund. Follow us at Locked On Bulls on Twitter. Email us with any basketball-related questions, advertising inquiries, at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. On Tuesday and Wednesday, we will get to, I know we got a couple emails in the queue that we'll get to and address your questions, so we appreciate you sending those to us all the time, and most of all, subscribe to us.
That's right. You can get us on iTunes. Make sure you leave us a 5-star review. We're also on Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play, pretty much anywhere you get podcasts, you can find us. And make sure you subscribe to The Athletic to read my work covering the Bulls. Check out 670thescore.com to check out Cody's work on the Bulls. And we will be back with you guys next week.